And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba in the Bloom, episode 213. Continuing our previews of the starting pitching position, part two, position ADP 21 through 50. Before we get to that fun stuff, we got some housekeeping. You can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How are we doing, my friend?
We're good. I'm ready to go. You are too, but this is your fifth podcast of the day. And I just, every time you do something like that, I marvel. I can't do more than, but if I do two in one day, I'm done. Like, I'm just drained. So I don't know how you're doing your fifth. But
first one started at 2 p.m. So we're in a 7-hour window right now too. So it's time to spread them out, my friend.
Have you
walk around the house for a little bit to stretch out and come back. Yes.
What's the step count this afternoon?
I don't know. I've been walking around in circles. Don't you worry. But it really makes me. I have a desk in my garage I need to build that has a stand up thing that would be really good for days like today. Yeah. But we're working on that. No one cares about me. So we got that going for us. But
you're half the show. Come on, we care.
I'm just kidding. It's a fun day. Just got to knocking out shows. That's what we do. It's that time of the year. It's draft season. It's preview season. Plus, we got to get stuff done, so we're going to have fun the rest of the time. So that's the beauty of it all. And before we get to the previews, I hope you guys enjoyed the Sunday show. The Sunday show was awesome with Sheep doing some a dinger draft, talking more strategy, building on to the underdog primer that we did. And so that was pretty sweet that we had. I don't know if Ryan has any thoughts on that besides, you know, he feels all we did was give him a hard time, which I know is not true. So any other thoughts on our wonderful underdog show?
I had a great time doing it. You guys were kind to me. I did screw up though at the end. I realized I went 8-6-6, eight pitchers, six infield, six outfield, which is what I said the previous show, a no-no, and I did it. So we'll see how that turns out. But no, that was fun. Always enjoy. Like, this is, I don't know, just getting on underdog and doing like a half hour, 40 minute draft is it's one of the reasons why I love draft season. I am doing two draft and holds at the same time right now. Oh, yeah. And dude, I hate it. I don't know how you can do multiple drafts at the same time. Like, I get my little team tracker thing that we have for the Patreon. Like, I'm putting wrong players in wrong teams. It's tough.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing to hear this conversation from you because you're like this very statistical genius that you give them a spreadsheet, you give them a computer, figures all this stuff out. Then you got me who can do like multiple drafts at once and just lives in my happy world. And it doesn't bug me. So it's pretty.
Yeah, you've got, I know you have multiple draft and holds going. And I don't even want to know how many slow underdog best ball drafts you have going on at once.
Yeah, you don't want to know, and you're not going to know. So that's good. That's good stuff. Speaking of underdog, anybody that likes underdog, you're new to underdog, you can do the drafts, the season-long best balls. You can do daily once the season starts. They have all kinds of great contests there. They have some over-under pick'em type deals as well in season. They're going to have some season-long ones we'll do shows for as well. So if you want to try out underdog fantasy and you're new to the platform, sign up, make your first time deposit, use promo code Bubba Bloom, all one word, BUBBABLOOM, to give you a first time deposit match up to $1,000. So you put 100 in, they get match 100 all the way up to $1,000 on your first deposit if you use promo code Bubba Bloom, all one word. So go check that out, Underdog Fantasy. All right, the other piece of housekeeping, and we'll have some other stuff throughout the show, is, you know, we bring it up once in a while, the Patreon. You guys are awesome. You guys are supporting the cause, but I feel like we're doing some crazy stuff too. So I'll give you the floor first, Ryan, before I keep talking in circles.
No, just honestly, like we're up to over 170 like paid patrons. It has been incredible so far. The support that we've gotten from you all out there, bunch of you all are in the Discord, and we appreciate that community. I think I've mentioned this before, but like my social media has now gone from what was Twitter to pretty much now just the Discord, and it is it has been super active. So if anyone, I know people are starting to, this is our first kind of real show, official show after the Super Bowl, a bunch of folks are kind of swinging back over to baseball. We have never left. We started this Patreon back in November as a way for folks to support the show. If you all enjoy what we're doing here, we would love your support, and we try and make it worth your while to do so. I've got a bunch of tools that I've made projection aggregators. Team Tracker has been really popular, minor league leaderboards, that sort of stuff. We are both putting out a fair bit of written content as well. So we're trying to make it worth your while to support the show. If you like what we're doing, just check it out. See if you want to join up, patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And if you do, please say hi in the Discord, because like I said, it has been that community has gone strong. It's no longer us, and it probably never was, but it's like us trying to force conversation in a Discord chat. And like, we have far surpassed that, where people are just kind of talking amongst themselves, which is probably good, because the advice that a bunch of the folks in our Patreon are giving is most likely better than what me and you are spewing out there into the ether. So
the Discord has got a mind of its own now, because I was in a meeting for this morning before I did my 5 podcast, and I was literally just watching you guys talk. I didn't have enough time to involve myself in the conversation, but all the new news dropping from first times reporting to camps, and like, this guy's hurt, and then other stuff, like, you guys are going wild in there. It was awesome. It was a full-on mini show in there that caught me on everything real quick when I was busy actually staring at, soil nutrient management and stuff like that. It was so much fun. So
we had live, I'll call him out. He'll be fine with it. We had live Ben Tidd meltdowns after the signing of Kenley Jansen. Took Ben Joyce out of the picture. So that was exciting. Cool to see from afar. That stuff has been a ton of fun. So again, if anyone's interested in supporting the show, getting more of us, if you want that in your life, patreon.com/BubbaBloom. We would surely appreciate it.
Most definitely. But all right, let's head to pitching preview part deux.
Let's do it.
We on the last episode, not on Sunday, last Thursday, Ryan and I basically went back and forth on our top 20 starting pitchers, which correlated kind of with the top 20 ADP. There will be some crossover tonight, but it was really healthy back and forth, seeing where we differed and why we differed and why we want to change our rankings and so on and so forth. And if you're on the Patreon, your full sheet of rankings coming out this weekend. So have that coming for you. But it was a very interesting discussion. We start off with the not so Dylan Cease at the top of this one. But before we look at the board, Ryan, or before we dig into the board, why don't you let us know what we're looking at here?
So we are looking at, this is the first kind of board we've done for pitchers since last time, was just kind of freestyle our back and forth on the top 20. So similar type of board that we're looking at for the YouTube crowd that we've done for hitters. What we're looking at is the ADP 21 through 50 for starting pitchers. I think this is February ADP, mostly like last 10-11 draft champions draft. So it's pretty current with projections that are combined with the steamer. I'm an old, the steamer and the bat. Combined and color-coded. And so we've got ERA, whip, and strikeout projections color-coded on the screen here. And we're going to kind of chop it up, like break this group of 30 into fives and just kind of talk about within each five who we like, who we don't, rehash some battles from the last episode, that kind of thing. Looking forward. I got some supporting data for some of the takes threw out there last time.
Here we go. He's going to talk. Aaron Nola's better than Dylan Cease. Something like that. But yeah, this will be a lot of fun. Again, I recommend checking out the pitching preview part one, essentially our top 20 starting pitchers as well, because this will give you a good backing on maybe some of these data points he's going to discuss on this show as we get going, so you know how skewed the data is. But like Ryan says, we'll break it up into fives. It worked well in the outfield. We'll hit on two for sure, but we'll end up talking about a few others in each pocket here. So we'll start off 21 through 25. The old pitcher in Philadelphia, Spencer Schwellenbach, Tanner Bibee, Luis Castillo, and Joe Ryan. Ryan, you have the floor. What supporting data do you have for us on this one?
Just had to come armed for the show tonight. Was getting pretty much attacked viciously in the Discord.
I'm kind of flattered, actually.
My Dylan Cease Aaron Nola comp, which I will, I'll throw a disclaimer out there right now. I have actually not drafted Aaron Nola at all in any of my drafts yet.
I've drafted a lot of Dylan Cease.
I'm just saying the comp that I made last show for folks that haven't listened yet is I don't think there's that much of a difference between Aaron Nola and Dylan Cease. Would I take Dylan Cease straight up over Nola? Yes, I would. And I threw that comp out there just kind of haphazardly, right? Didn't really know too much. People coming at me in the Discord after the show, so I had to do a little bit of post take research, which usually you're supposed to do the research before you throw out the take, but whatever. In this case, the numbers kind of worked out.
I'd be like taking someone's spleen out and then realizing, whoops, I needed to take out the liver.
The wrong one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this one kind of worked out. So what I did, and this was my comeback in the Discord, but I looked at the last 3 years. Roto stats, Aaron Nola versus Dylan Cease. And again, Aaron Nola, I would take Cease over Nola. Aaron Nola, however, is going at an ADP of 83. Aaron Nola versus Dylan Cease, last 3 years, Aaron Nola is second in innings total. Dylan Cease is 10th. Aaron Nola has 37 wins to Dylan Cease's 35. Aaron Nola has a 110 whip over the last 3 years compared to Dylan Cease's 119 whip. Strikeout 634 to 665 in Dylan Cease's favor. So just 30 strikeouts over 3 years. Who's counting? ERA is better for Dylan Cease, 340 versus 375. However, if you look at the skills, the Sierra, skills independent ERA, which we look at all the time, Aaron Nola is at a 340 over the last three seasons versus Dylan Cease's 368. So again, I just think it's, we get so locked into, especially those of us that have been drafting a ton right now, we see the ADP, it's kind of like gospel. I just, if you kind of take a step back and look at these two guys, yes, Aaron Nola is a little bit older, probably on the downside of his career, where Dylan Cease is more of an in prime. They're both excellent volume guys, excellent strikeout guys. Aaron Nola has a better whip and Dylan Cease has a better ERA. I just think we focus on ERA so much. Aaron Nola kind of gets bagged for that. And Aaron Nola brings a ton else to the table. He was the number 29 starting pitcher last season, being drafted 21st overall. So it's not like he was a disaster last season. You're sitting here shaking your head. What's your rebuttal? Why don't you like Aaron Nola at all?
No, there's two things, or more than two, probably, as I keep talking. You stat guys, you like graphs, graphs and charts and stuff, right? Is this one where you if you put both of them on the y-axis over here, that one guy is on the up and one guy's on the down, would that look like an X when you look at their, you know, year by year numbers? Because if you're just taking averages, well, no. I can average a lot of things out, but if you look at like steady decline versus steady rise, is that making sense to you at all?
No. It is, but not in terms of this comp.
Okay. In terms of this comp. Secondly, I don't hate Aaron Nola. I hate the comp that he's basically the same as Dylan Cease. Big difference.
Similar.
I don't mind Aaron Nola at this ADP. I still prefer Schwellenbach Bibee. I take both of them over Aaron Nola, but I'm not opposed to Aaron Nola as an SP 2 or 3. Not opposed to that at all. So let's clean that vocabulary up for a second. But yeah, I think trying to compare a pitcher that's on the decline by using his 3 year, why don't you use his 5 year average to get even better years on it? Like, why don't you just cook the books while we're at it?
I mean, I could have done a 2 year last 2 years, and actually Aaron Nola would have come out better because 3 years ago,
Dylan Cease said that ERA in the twos. Yes. I'm very well aware of this.
I'm not using arbitrary endpoints here. I actually did this in Cease's favor. If you look at the last 2 years, yeah. Nola's been better.
He has been. That is just true. But yeah, I'm just saying.
Anyway, I think it's fun discussion.
It's so much fun. And Dylan Cease will earn me a beer by the end of the season. So it's great because we're going to bet Nola versus Cease, right?
No, we're not.
Oh, we're not.
You heard my disclaimer at the beginning. I'm sorry, I
blacked out because I keep hearing, you know, compare these averages. I just was assuming that we're getting there. No? Yeah. It's worth a shot.
Similar types. So if you do want to do a beer bet, this is gonna be tough because your guy, well, what you're gonna talk about next is your guy Tanner Bibee. I like Tanner Bibee. Yeah. Do you like Bibee more than Schwellenbach?
See, that's really tough for me. I like them both a lot. I think Schwellenbach's got a higher ceiling than Bibee personally. Like I talked about Schwellenbach with Ben today, and when you look at Schwellenbach's month by month last year, like his first couple months, he's basically gonna be shipped back to AAA and done. He improved so much. I think it was in August. He had almost a 32% K rate. Just the strikeouts were so much better. The K to walks was better because the ratios were awesome. Like he was a well-rounded machine basically by the end.
Could I interest you in a Schwellenbach versus Nola this year? Beer bet.
Sure.
Done. Same ADP. And the same with Bybee. And that's why we're bringing this up. I'm 83, assuming, 83, 85.
Same ADP. I'm assuming I get Schwellenbach, correct?
Yeah, that would be a valid just making sure.
I want to get this on the air. I want to get a fast one pulled on me.
And I'm not a Schwellenbach hater. I'm not really.
Well, you got to have fine, Nola. You got to have a Nola bet somewhere after
I
all know, this.
That's the love. Thing. I do all this. I did this 3-year research. I need to at least pay you a beer when I lose it. So
right, we'll do Schwellenbach versus Nola.
All right, it's on the sheet.
We go. All right, the guy I'm going to talk about, though, besides, didn't talk Schwell, I gave you a little piece of the Schwellenbach love there, who, again, I like quite a bit. And if you want an upside pick, I would take him over Tanner Bibee, but I love me some Tanner Bibee. I love him as an SP2 in this spot. If you go a little earlier, you can get to a guy who's going to be 26 years old this year. Saw a 30-innings jump last year as a steady jump. I wrote about him in the preseason last year. I talked about his pitch mix and how he's got two just lights out pitches and was going too fastball heavy, blah, blah, blah. And he started mixing things up a little better, became a much bigger strikeout guy, which was just tremendous. We saw him go from a 24 to a 26% K rate. It's only 2%, but it went from a 4% jump in or a 3.5% jump in K to walk because the walks went down as the strikeouts went up. Whip dropped to 112. And what I really love to see, if I remember correctly, now still a heavy fly ball guy, which is a slightly concerning thing, but we saw the strikeouts increase. We saw the walks decrease, which I love to see, which obviously helped with your ratios. Like the 3.47 ERA is what it is. But if you look at the 3.72 xFIP, so he maybe overachieved a little bit. When we look at the Sierra, it was 3.58. Like you can live with all of this if the whip stays low and the strikeouts stay high. This is a guy that maybe all of a sudden he goes from 142 to 173 and he starts creeping in on 200. It feels a lot like what we saw from Shane Bieber at this age, as he kept developing through Cleveland's system. And Bibee's an ace on his team. I don't know if he's ever going to get to fantasy ace level, but he's a darn good starting pitching too. And I'm a believer in what we saw, and I don't see that changing very much.
And that's why, I'll agree that Schwellenbach probably has that SP1 ace ceiling type, at least from what we saw in a pretty small stretch in the second half last year. But you're spending a top 100 pick here. I'm going to go Bibee over Schwelly pretty much every time, just because we've had almost two full seasons of Bibee being pretty good with, I think, room for more. So I'm with you. I'm with you on Bibee.
I want to ask you one thing because he got cut off because ADP shifted. But Bailey Ober, he kind of gets grouped into this mix. And like in that DC we're in for Arizona, I think I took Ober and Schwelly pretty much back-to-back as my 1-2. Ober has an ADP of 78, so it goes Ober, Nola, Schwellenbach, Bibee. This is a very fair region. If you wait on starting pitching, you can double-tap here. I think it'll be pretty good. I just want to get your thoughts because Ober's pretty high up on the list for many of us too.
Yeah, I just pulled up my rankings. I've got Ober 13th, which is well ahead of all of these guys. So, and actually only two spots behind your guy, Dylan Cease. But we beat that to death. Yes. Bailey Ober, I think, fits very well with this type of like late SP1 if you wait in a 15-teamer or rock solid SP2. I dig Bailey Ober very much.
All right. Let's
real quick. Joe Ryan, I just want to throw out Joe Ryan. He's in this group, ADP 92. I actually think Joe Ryan's the best pitcher of this group over Nola, Schwelly, Bob, Bibee, Luis Castillo. Ended the season hurt. If Joe Ryan looks good this spring, throws 12, 15 spring training innings or more, I could see myself taking Joe Ryan over this crop as well. But it's someone who I am not taking right now in draft and holds just because we have not seen him. And the last time we did see him, he was on the IL.
Yeah, and I'm scared because it was a shoulder issue that he didn't get cut on or anything. So that's one of those I'm just going to – if he pitches great, so be it type situations for me. All right, 26 through 30, we got Hunter Green, Frederick Peralta, Max Fried, Hunter, Ben calls him Mitch Keller Brown, and Logan Webb. So who do you have in this range?
I actually have Hunter Brown.
Yeah, I'm on your side on this one. Ben and I, we went at it again today, so go for it.
I think for me, I think you can kind of throw out the terrible April that Hunter Brown had last year. After that April, the skills were fantastic. The walk rate, and I wrote about this. I've got an article coming out tomorrow on Wednesday when this show comes out at Baseball HQ. I looked at the top pitch mix changers from 2023 to 24, and Hunter Brown stuck out because he threw that sinker. He did not throw it at all in April. And then totally, you know, once stuff hit the fan in April, Hunter Brown pretty much switched things up and threw that sinker a ton more. And from May on was really good, especially with the walk rate. There was a ton of strikes with a pretty varied arsenal. In the forecaster, we've got an upside of 200 strikeouts, I believe, on Hunter Brown. So that shows some of the ceiling that Hunter Brown has. I like the way he switched things up. I like the way he finished. I like the team context with Houston. So, and I also don't... I don't really like Hunter Green or Max Fried that much going right ahead of Hunter Brown. So I like Freddie, but yeah, Hunter Brown's someone who I think is fine at an ADP of 100. I don't like absolutely love him, but he sticks out to me. I take him over Green or Fried going 10 picks or so ahead.
Yep. That's where I'm at. Like, I'm not in love with them. I have a share or two here and there. I can see the upside. I like him more in a 12 than a 15. Cause if he struggles right out the gate, you can like, okay, cut your losses, move on. And a 15 at this ADP, you're sacrificing a lot at that point in time. So you better get what you like here. So I'm probably going bats if I'm not going to Freddie, which I pretty much go to Freddie every time in this realm. So let's talk Freddie Peralta. ADP is 96. It's a guy that I've preached on the Top 20 show about it and many other shows already. Is like, why is he going this low? I just don't get it. We saw 32 starts last year, 173 innings after 30 starts the previous season. Everyone says he's injury prone. I'm like, okay, he's had his issues, sure, but the last 2 years have been pretty solid, all things considered. 3.68 ERA. The whip was 1.21. That's a bummer, but that's because his walk rate went up and his strikeout rate kind of dipped in the second half last year. So if that's why you want to push him down here, so be it. But it was the year before when he was on every one of the bloom boards for K to walk this and everything. Like the dude, when Freddie is being Freddie, he's amazing. So I love the ratios. I love that he's actually pitched pretty solid innings the last 2 years. And the biggest thing, and I harp on this so many times, he's got 200 or more Ks in back-to-back years. He has 195 or more in 3 of the last 4 years. So you're getting that many strikeouts close to ADP 100. Not many do. If you want to make a lot of a joke now, what's different from Freddie Peralta than Dylan Cease, Ryan? We could go that route if you want. Like, Cease has a little lower ERA once in a blue moon, but otherwise pretty similar.
My man, you're coming around on me here. You're coming around. I like it.
I'm beating you to the punch. But I love Freddie Peralta. Like, I have him as my SP1 on an OC team when I went real hitter heavy. Don't recommend that completely. But I think if you get him an SP2 or if you're aggressive in pitching and he's somehow your SP3, you are in a happy place. Like, he should not be going this late. I know I'm biased, but this is ridiculous to me.
Yeah, you like him quite a bit more than I do. I think Peralta's just – he's okay at the price. I think so much depends – and we've talked about this a little bit before. I think so much depends on that second half pretty much collapse in K-rate over his last 80 innings.
Yeah, it was a rough – finish to the season. There's no
that there. Could be nothing. That could be something velocity held firm. I don't think it's some kind of like collapse or injury. It's just something I've got like in the back of my mind where I'm like, I'm a little hesitant to pull the trigger there. But I everything you just said about Freddie's fine, especially the Cease comp. Well, I'm gonna put words in your mouth, but what's with Logan Webb? You don't seem to be on him this year.
15, okay, 12, don't want to do with it. The frustrating part is I've said it so many times on this show in years past, he can strike guys out when he wants to. He's proven it, but he'd rather throw innings and help his team in that regard. And that's where I just lose fantasy appeal with him. Like, I'd rather take Sonny Gray, who we're going to talk about later. I think he's basically the same thing as Logan Webb, but strike guys out. Yeah. Very similar pitcher, all things considered. It's just the lack of strikeouts for Webb. That's what does it for me more than anything. And if you're not going to strike guys out, you got to have a lower whip. The ratio's got to be even tighter. And they're inconsistent in that regard. That's because he's a ground ball pitcher. You're going to get screwed once in a while. That's the reality of the situation. So it's a lot, just mainly the strikeouts with me. Like, if you want a good floor pitcher, awesome. I have no problem with that. But if you're playing 12-team leagues, he doesn't do a lot for you.
makes sense. I'm with you on the 15 team aspect as well. Yeah, I'm fine with Logan Webb as an SP2 and 15 teamers. So much depends on, he's like that Sandy Alcantara. You need that 200 plus innings to be able to have a manageable strikeout total. Like he did it. Logan Webb did it in 2023. He had 194 Ks.
He can.
But he had to throw 216 innings to get there. And I just don't know how.
But even if he threw 180 Ks, you'd be happy. Like, he doesn't have to be a 200. Like, you prefer a 200, obviously. But if he gave you 180 to 190, that's doable with him. So he just has to be willing to do it. Instead of he has to be more of a six-inning strikeout guy or the eight-inning, we're not going to strike him out guy.
It's funny, the projections. And I will preface, projections for pitchers, I kind of don't look at nearly as much as I do for hitters. It's interesting to see, just because I feel like pitchers are there's so much noise in what goes into like ERA, even whip, and obviously wins. And then pitchers can just change so often. I think projections kind of fail to capture that as a whole. It's interesting to see Hunter Brown right next to Logan Webb on this Bloom board here. Look at the projections. Like, it's kind of not close. Logan Webb blows Hunter Brown away. Better ratios, same strikeouts. So that's just interesting to me.
Just speaking of projections, before we jump in the next, let's kind of jump into the next tier, but I'm gonna keep talking about Logan Webb. Logan Webb, Spencer Strider has better projections than Logan Webb, almost the same amount of strikeouts.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Does that
not make sense?
No, but my point is if you like Logan Webb, it's like, you don't want to stick with Strider while he's on the bench for 2 months, but you take Strider and have a replacement for him for 2 months and hope you get that stat line. With the replacement, you'll have more strikeouts than Logan Webb.
Yeah, with the replacement. Yeah, a lot of these projection systems for Strider are like 115, 120 innings. Yeah. And so obviously Webb's going to be 180, 200. So
yeah, just a lot of spitballing here. All right, let's go to 31 through 35. Grayson Rodriguez, Tyler Glasnow, Sonny Gray, Zach Gallen, Spencer Strider. The floor is yours, Ryan.
So, I mentioned Gray as a top 20 pitcher last time, and a little bit of a correction from the last show. A little bit of a correction. I don't nail everything the first time. I mentioned that Sonny Gray did not get hurt again after he had a hamstring injury. That actually was not correct. Sonny Gray did miss his last start of the season with what the team called forearm, something with his forearm. So I don't know. I did want to throw that out there, because if I'm going to sit here and say, I don't like Joe Ryan at all because of the way he finished the season, I think it's a little bit different than what we saw with Sonny Gray, who was just that last start. It could be as simple as they were St. Louis was just shutting down their starting pitchers. We saw Lance Lynn go on the IL, our guy, Lance Lynn go on the IL in the last week with a knee problem, even though he just pitched the time before and look fine. So I don't know if that was St. Louis just kind of shutting their guys down or if it's something deeper than that, but I at least want to throw it out there with Sonny Gray, who, if he does show up to spring and everything looks fine, which I expect, I think Sonny Gray is a great value at 107, but just keep an eye on that, on any Sonny Gray news as he reports to camp this week and starts throwing in front of the team again next week, just to make sure that's okay.
Yep. I love Sonny Gray. Hopefully he's healthy, because if he is, 107 is a really solid ADP for a guy like Sonny Gray. So I'm with you on that. All right. Decisions. I hate this section of the draft.
Same.
I like Sonny Gray. I don't like Grayson Rodriguez. I believe in the talent. I still haven't seen it, so I'm not drafting him. Tyler Glasnow, I'd be shocked if he makes 100 innings again. Like, don't give me any Tyler Glasnow. Zach Gallen, I have a share of when I waited on pitching forever in an OC, just because he's got the history and this and that and the other. It's been an Aaron Nola-like decline. Like, you've got that going with Zach Gallen. And then there's Spencer Strider, who's not going to be pitching for at least the first month to 2 months of the season. So this is a section of the draft. Like, I literally put on the outline, Ryan, take Gray, because that's who he likes. And then I'll just, like, pick apart the rest of the region. Like, I want nothing. Like, if I had to pick one guy to take here, you got Grayson Rodriguez for upside, or Zach Gallen for at least he's going to probably be out there for 25 to 30 starts. Like, it's just a region I don't want nothing to do with.
Which I think, so maybe it doesn't make for the best content in terms of like analyzing each and every one of these pitchers, but I don't think that's what we're here for. I think it's very good to know that when you are drafting, kind of planning out your draft, to know that you don't like a pitcher basically from 100 to 120 And so you're going to be looking at, I don't know what relievers are even available, 100 to 120, but you're going to be looking at which bats are available in that range and kind of planning
that. Will soon be available there, by the way.
Yeah.
Did the exercise today. Yeah. If you look at where certain guys are going, he fits the 115 to 130 range.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
You can take, as an RP2, a Kenley Jansen there. I mean, the hitters going around here, your guy, Jake Berger. There is
a lot of Berger.
Vinny P. There's Tristan Casas, if you're into that sort of a deal. So just kind of look. I agree with you. And I also think it's valuable to know that this is a spot in the draft, these rounds where I don't want starting pitching. So I need to account for that by definitely getting my SP at least two before we get to pick 100. And then looking at which bats are closers and probably grab my second closer here at around 100 to 120. I think that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, because like 120 to 160-ish, give or take, there's a handful I could see myself liking or taking shots on. Let's put it that way. Even all the way to 175, like the whole right side of the board, there's a bunch of guys I can make cases for as we get going. Feels like the outfield as we're doing this exercise right now. Before we go to the right side of the board, wanted to bring up a friend of the show that's got a promo code for y'all to enjoy. That's baseballhq.com. They've helped us with the Listener League prizes, and the Listener League start actually within like another week, basically this weekend. Yep. Actually, they start this weekend. Holy crikey. They start Sunday. On Sunday. Yeah, they start. I just looked at the calendar. They start on Sunday. So that's pretty awesome. We got those 10 leagues all rocking and rolling, and Baseball HQ's helped with that. And they've also helped if you want to get to enjoy the site, to get to know the site. The draft prep subscription gets you access to the site from now till the end of April. So you get all draft season with the projections, the articles, need a full in season with all the goodies as well. So you get full site access through April, draft prep subscription. If you use code Bubba Bloom, all one word, BUBBABLOOM, $10 off the draft prep subscription. So go check that out, baseballhq.com, Bubba Bloom for $10 off your draft prep subscription.
We both have articles coming out on HQ on Wednesday. Your AOS playing time tomorrow piece, my speculator piece. The site picked up a couple FSWA award finalists this past week.
Yeah, Ryan, let's do it.
Not gonna tout myself as that.
Well, but, I'll tout him.
But we've got that. HQ is, I think, top class. And if you haven't had a chance to check them out yet, this is a pretty awesome time to do it. They very rarely give any kind of discount or anything. So if you're just jumping back into baseball, I use their projections for my own picks and that sort of thing. And it has worked out great for me the last few years. So check out HQ if you're into that.
Yep. It's awesome. Awesome stuff. Oh, and as Kevin Hastings said, Britton Allen hit him up today. They'll be streaming their auction on President's Day 217. So that's all about half of our drafts. We've already got commitments to live stream.
That's going to be fun. Kevin and Britton streaming that.
That'll be pure entertainment. Pure entertainment right there, folks. Get your popcorn ready.
So, yeah, let's do a quick recap of that. I don't know how many people care, but our listener leagues have been awesome. We're up to 10 leagues this year. We had 4 last year. We are freaking stoked for them. Kevin and Britton on February 17th. I will be streaming mine probably for Patreon subscribers on February 21st, Friday Night Lights. Bubba, you are February 26th,
Wednesday. That'll be on a live stream, probably benched with Bubba version, but we'll have something going there. I'll try to get Ben to join me or somebody else. So yeah.
And then our February 28th Listener League will be streamed as well. So we're gonna have a ton of
Enrico, I think, streaming his
stuff. Okay. I would imagine. Yeah, that would make sense.
So that's 5. We got 5 in the books. Half the leagues will be streamed in one way or another. So goodness gracious, that'll be entertaining for sure. All right, back to your regularly scheduled broadcast. Here we go to 36 through 40. I'm used to the other format, so I got to reconvene here. Justin Steele, Carlos Rodon, Shane McClanahan, Jack Flaherty, and Brian Woo coming your way. So what do you like in this range?
Another spot I'm not really that thrilled about, to be honest with you. I don't know if you are, Bubba, but like Justin Steele ended the season hurt. He did come back and have a couple starts. Carlos Rodon did make it through the whole season, so that he actually sticks out from this crowd because he did that. Shane McClanahan, just no for me. Too much risk at an ADP of 127 coming off double TJ. Jack Flaherty coming back to Detroit is probably one of the best landing spots we could have seen. So I'm okay with Flaherty at 132. Brian Woo, to me, I just get so freaked out about the injuries with Brian Woo. So out of this group, I'm going to take Justin Steele with the caveat that he looks good in spring as well. And again, he did come back at the tail end of last season and at least pitch. It was elbow inflammation. It was 3 weeks in September. So something to kind of take a look at. The beginning of the season was that hamstring injury going after a comebacker for Justin Steele. I don't hold that against him at all. But check out these last three seasons of ERA for Justin Steele. 318, 306, and 307. Expected ERA is like 360 or below. I think Justin Steele is just like an all-around safe pick, assuming the elbow's okay and he looks good this spring. So I'll go Justin Steele. Have not taken him yet because, again, that's just my thing. If you ended the season hurt to kind of hurt, I'm not going to take you in early draft and holds, but that could easily change, just like I talked about with Joe Ryan, if Justin Steele comes back and looks good this spring.
Yeah, I used to draft Steele in every draft. He's kind of my Freddie Peralta of drafts. I haven't touched him this year because I need information. I need something there, but I'm with everything else you said on that one. I'm not in love with this range. There are two guys I take a lot of. I have a ton of Flaherty. Talked about him already. Carlos Rodon, I'm starting to cling to, and it's probably one of my biases, which we'll get to in a minute. But, like, yes, the injury history can't be ignored, but two out of the last three seasons, 175 or more innings. So he's made 31, 32 starts. He's made 24 or more starts in three of four seasons, if you want to try to just grasp at some straws there. If you want to do those three of the four seasons, it's been a 2.37, 2.88, 3.95 ERA. So when he does pitch into a season, the ratios don't crush you. The whips over those seasons, 0.96, 103, 122. We've seen a strikeout rate and a K to walk. Two of those seasons were elite, 26, 28%. Got back up to 18.8% this past year, which is a much better sign, hopefully, of things to come here. Also, when it comes to Rodon, we did see the ground ball rate rise 6%. The fly ball is still really high, dropped 3%, but nearly 50%. Yeah. Bright side, I guess it's righties doing more of the damage at home than lefties in that ballpark. But the biggest thing I like about Rodon, and again, pray for health, it's a broken record with me at strikeouts. 195 Ks last year, 237, 185 throughout those four seasons. He's projected for anywhere from 190 to 200 strikeouts right now. Like, so this, you're getting a potential 200 K guy at 125. If you draft accordingly, you can get three pitchers with 200 K upside. Ratios are volatile. That's the name of my game. You guys have all made fun of me for that. That's valid because it checks. So I'm not denying it. It checks. But I'm attacking in a position I know I can't make up well on the waiver wire, and I hope for, you know, variance to take place in the ratios where we've seen these guys be better in ratios, but they're very volatile. So I get it. But the strikeouts are legit, and you can't find those later on. So Rodon has become more interesting to me, the fact that it's two out of 3 years, technically three out of four, if you want to widen the gap, where he's been quasi-healthy enough to be productive at this point.
Yeah, you made a few really good points. So the one point I want to drill in on is I started to be off of Carlos Rodon early in draft season because of the fly ball. You just think the fly ball rate in Yankee Stadium, and it's like, oh, that scares the hell out of me. But you're right. Carlos Rodon is like death against lefties, and that matters in Yankee Stadium, especially when you do have a high fly ball rate like that. So it's a really good point that it's mostly righties doing the damage off of Rodon, and that's at least doable in Yankee Stadium. The other thing I'll add onto what you just laid out there, Bubba, is not only did Carlos Rodon, right, get to those 175 innings, he was even like a lot better in the second half. Strikeout rate jumped from 23 to 31% from first to second half. Swinging strike up from 13 to almost 16%. Like that's elite, elite stuff from Carlos Rodon, who anytime I see someone get better like that in the second half, it just makes me feel that much better that obviously ended the season healthy, but it just improves their odds of being healthy again the following season. So like Rodon's 4.20 ERA on the sheet here sticks out like rare steak red, but I'm taking the under on that. I'm sure that's baking in a good amount of fly ball home run risk in Yankee Stadium, but I think if you get like a 30% K rate guy, it's hard to have a 4.20 ERA when you strike out that many guys.
Like I said, over the last 4 years, he's only had one ERA over four. So yeah, it's like
granted it was six.
Yeah,
it was fair. 6-8, almost seven. But
it's a 14 starts. Like you look, but no, but let's look at his underlying. He only had a 60% left on base rate, like 27% ground ball, 15.2% home run to fly. talk about running as bad as humanly possible in that that stretch of time. So, I've always been pretty anti-Rodon on this show, but based on ADP, based on the way I'm trying to focus on things, and based on what he's showing, like, I can't just poop on him anymore. Like, he's pretty serviceable at this point in time. Anybody else in this range you just want to highlight or you want to move on?
Not really. I mean, I would, like I said, I would take Flaherty at like 130, but I'd much rather have Rodon. We'll get to the next group.
And I will say the Flaherty's coming. He's going to climb. He's guarded on as high as 93.
Oh, so, really? Okay.
Yeah, he's on the move. He's on the move now that he's signed. So be prepared for that.
Which puts him ahead of like Freddy Peralta, Logan Webb, Hunter Brown. I think I'm good. I'm good there. I don't
know. I've got Flaherty. My Flaherty shares. Probably won't have many more. That's what it comes down to. All right. We go 41 through 45 here. Jared Jones, Kodai Senga, Robbie Ray, You Say, We Say, We All Say, Kikuchi, and Kevin Gausman. So what do you like in this range?
Not much.
Not a whole lot. Yeah.
You grab Kikuchi, who I have on like pretty much every team right now.
You take him. I'll talk about somebody else. Go for
it. No, I mean, I've talked about Kikuchi a ton. Everyone knows. Like, I just think Kikuchi figured it out last season in the second half when he went to Houston and just totally mixed up the pitch mix and looked honestly like an ace. He was one of the best pitchers in the second half and over the last 2 months in Major League Baseball last year. Yes, he went to the Angels. We all love the crap on the Angels, but I just don't believe that Yusei Kikuchi just leaves what he did in Houston and never comes back to it. I think he figured something out there, and I think he's going to use that in Anaheim. And I just don't like, I mean, I don't, the way Jared Jones ended the season, like how hard he throws, no. Kodai Senga, like, no. Hell no. Robbie Ray's fine. Kevin Gausman, like, you want to talk about a Nerinola type decline. It's a Kevin Gausman decline, the way things are going with Gausman. So I just, that's another reason why I have so much Yusei Kikuchi, is I don't, not only do I not like anyone else in this group around 150 for starting pitching, I don't really like much of the group that we just talked about outside of Carlos Rodon and maybe Justin Steele. And so, like, it's kind of a starting pitcher island for me.
All right. And I agree with it all. I love Kikuchi. He's another guy that's got 200K upside. So I'm on board with that. Like, if you start pairing it together, right, you can, you know, ratios could be interesting. But all in all, I'm with you on Kikuchi. So I'll take somebody else here. You got your Kikuchi. Have your fun. If you're cool with that, I'll take someone else.
You're going to take Robbie Ray, right? I'm interested in your take. He fits the mold, the high strikeout ratio mold.
Yes, that's what he does, and the ratios for darn sure are an issue with Robbie Ray. But this is actually a debate from the Bench with Bubba show today. It was Robbie Ray versus Yusei Kikuchi. With Robbie Ray, it's frustrating because he's been so hurt for two seasons. Obviously, he had the Tommy John surgery and everything. Came back last year. He made, you know, seven starts through 30 innings, throw some minor league innings, give him 50 innings, I guess. I haven't looked at it all, but I watched pretty much every inning he threw with the Giants in the big league level, and it was so tilting because he had the goods. It was the Robbie Ray experience, let's just put it that way. He had the goods, and when he didn't walk guys, he just was awesome, just absolutely beautiful. And then he'd have the games where he couldn't find the strike zone. It was just the two evils with Robbie Ray at this ADP you can live with. Like, here's his game log. 5 innings, 1 run, 8 Ks. 4 1/3. 4 runs, 3 walks, 5 innings, 1 walk, 9 Ks, 6 innings, 3 walks, 7 Ks, 2 earned, not bad. But 3 walks, no walks, 3 walks. He had 7 or more Ks in 4 of those 7 outings. Like, this dude can do a little bit of everything. It's very, very tilting when looking at Robbie Ray. But again, at this point in the draft, I see the appeal. Like you mentioned, there's not a whole lot out here. When you're looking at upside, Robbie Ray's got all the upside. Giants have no reason not to throw him if he can throw. So if he pins together, like projections have him for 140 to 150, if they can get 150 out of him, that'll be great. And that means he probably has decent ratios because he got you 150 innings and definitely got you a lot of strikeouts. Because even last year, as annoying as it was, because he had the 11.6% walk rate, which was horrible, 33.3% strikeout rate. Like, he was filthy. That's why it was very frustrating to watch him, and I'm trying to slide down even farther here to give you the number Ryan likes to mention. He had a 16.2% swinging strike rate. Like, it was dirty what was coming out of Robbie Ray. Really, it was just, man, watching him try to locate some starts was so bad. So I'm fine with going back to him here just know it's a roller coaster, and you might need to know when to jump off the roller coaster, essentially, because it might be really bad. But he could be worth a top 75 pick if he figures it out, and you're going to get him at 150. So it's a very, very, very polarizing pick.
Michael here in the chat, I know I kind of just glossed over slash crapped on Jared Jones. Jared Jones is working on a new curve and change. I get the velo concern, but could be a big riser. Absolutely. You know, if those new pitches work or whatever, we don't know. The way Jared Jones started the season, I mean, he was one of the best pitchers in baseball over the first half. Like, I there is a ceiling that Jared Jones has that Robbie Ray, well, Robbie Ray probably has a similar ceiling. I don't know his odds of getting there. In his 30s, you say Kikuchi doesn't have that ceiling. Cody Senga doesn't. Like, Jared Jones probably has the highest ceiling of this group, and probably higher ceiling than a number of starting pitchers going before him that we've already talked about. So that's the case for Jared Jones. It's just, for me, I just weigh how they finished. And
I'm glad we did something positive on Jones there, because I have been taking him as a a little bit, very little, but it's in the right team context as a take a gamble guy.
What about Senga? Totally out? You picked him at all?
I have not picked him. I'm pretty much out, but then I just talked to Guilds. We did the Mets preview.
Okay.
And he's all in. He said the report that came out today on Tuesday, pitchers and catchers reported, all the reports said he's healthy. And the reason they wanted to do the six man is just to keep him to like 150 innings instead of going the whole shebang. So they wanted the six man to limit his innings to keep him healthy, is what they said. I still am skeptical of all those quotes, but if that's accurate, ADP 149 is a gift for the skill set that he
has. Yeah, it is. That makes sense. I'm not willing to trust those reports, but I could see it. If he is healthy, but it's all about the health for me.
100%. Because if you're into trusting it, then that's a heck of a pick. But I haven't got there yet. I'd rather take the Kikuchi for sure. Probably past the rest of the range, but it's a gamble range. Jones, big upside. Ray, can he figure out how to not walk guys into Senga healthy? Like, all those guys could way outperform their ADPs. They could also be done by the middle of the season.
Except for Kikuchi. We love him.
No, I'm just referring to Jones, Senga, and Ray. Just those three.
Yep.
They could all do like so many different things there. Very, very annoying. All right, 46 through 50, you got Ronaldo Lopez, Sandy Alcantara, Ryan Pepio, Brandon Thott, and Christopher Sanchez. I bet the listeners cannot guess what two pitchers we're going to talk about right here.
This is bad. Like, I mean, I beat the drum for Christopher Sanchez like all last season. And kind of like, to bring this thing full circle, kind of the anti-Aaron Nola. In a way, in terms of like where everyone focuses on ERA, Aaron Nola does not have a great ERA, has had bad ERAs in the past. Christopher Sanchez, had a 3.32 ERA. That's awesome. Christopher Sanchez also only had 153 strikeouts. He had a 1.24 whip, which is not good. And he had 11 wins, which is kind of marginal. So it's just funny how... Maybe this is just how I perceive it. We all look at ERA, and that's just one out of five categories, folks. So given all that, I have picked Christopher Sanchez as my pick on this. I've got a thing for guys with ground ball rates in the upper 50s. We'll clip that full sentence there. in the upper 50s, like Christopher Sanchez has, I think it does put ERA again is a category. Having a ground ball rate near 60% pretty much locks in, I think, a sub 360 ERA. Your whip's not going to be great, but I just think the control is awesome for Christopher Sanchez. He basically held all the gains that we saw from him in 2023 from the walk rate standpoint, actually improved his walk rate a little bit with a ton of strikes. And I'm just waiting for the strikeouts to tick up. I don't know if that's going to happen. Like the projection for Christopher Sanchez looking at Steamer in the bat here is 145. Like, that's not great. But Christopher Sanchez, if you squint in the second half at a 13% swinging strike rate last season, I mean, that he can miss bats. He can miss bats. So I think there's some hope for the strikeouts. That's what I'm hedging on at a 176 ADP here with Christopher Sanchez. But even if the strikeouts don't work out, I think the floor for Christopher Sanchez is like already earning his 176 ADP. So that's why he's my guy here.
Yep. Nothing bad to say about him at all. We've talked about him a million times on the show for good reasons. And I've drafted plenty of Sanchez. I've drafted him as like a sixth or seventh pitcher in underdog a lot just to have that floor if all heck breaks loose. So yeah, love him. Don't really have a ton to add to it at all. Brandon Fought, P-F-A-A-D-T, Fought.
Brandon, so, real quick, Fought. Time out. Did you mean to spell his name wrong in the rundown?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that's I totally hilarious. Wanted to message
it's,
you there.
It's P-F-A-D-D-T in the rundown.
Yeah, no, I was doing that on purpose to see if we can keep this stupid shenanigans going here.
And I am not a heckler for spelling or grammar, folks, trust me. But if for any new listeners out there, the running joke here is Bubba tried to draft Brandon Fought in our live Tout War stream last year and couldn't find him. In the exactly. Fantrax room, and so the we were all pretty sure that you just typed his name in wrong and couldn't find him in time.
I had to reset the stupid page. We found out later because that was annoying. Yeah,
pretty epic. Are Bubba we, in the blue moment.
Back, are we bringing this back?
Oh, we're bringing right. it back. Hey, I just you know sometimes if I listen to a podcast and people are talking inside jokes and I don't get it, I'm like, what? So yeah, that's where that joke comes from. Bubba not being okay. able to make his pick.
In you time. Got it, Brandon Fought. Love the improvements we saw this past year. And the ending stat line is not going to showcase it all. That's the beauty of it to me, at least. We saw him jump to 181 innings. That's a plus at age 25. We saw the strikeout rate increase from 22 to 24%, while the walk rate dropped from 6.2 to 5.5. K to walks 18.8%. They're small changes, but they're changes. We saw the whip drop to 1.24. These are things we're looking at in the right direction. He had the 4.71 ERA. But he had a 3.65 Sierra, which was great. So a lot of unluckiness here because with him, it's home runs and walks. That's his big bugaboo. He had a 11.4% swinging strike on the season, which is not bad. Like I said, the home runs, he had an 11.8% home run to fly ball that dropped from 16.8 and 16.4 in the previous two stints. So that's a positive in the right direction. He still had a 64.5% left the ball rate, which is insanely low. Especially for a 41.5% ground ball rate to top it off. So, again, could have some positive things coming his way. What really stands out to me, because I think people will just look at numbers and really cringe at him, is they'll see first half, second half splits. They'll see a 5.93 ERA in the second half. And, yes, that is not good, folks. But let's dig a little deeper on Brandon Fought. That second half number here, we saw a K per nine of 10.67, a strikeout rate jumped to 27.6, and a K to walk of 22.1 compared to 16.7 in the first half with an xFIP of 3.22. So much different. He had a BABIP of 3.68 with a 57.3% left on base rate. So the strikeout skills skyrocketed and the luck skills went down the toilet. So it was just like two extremes on that, like one thing where we really wanted to go and one that just did not. It just fizzled out completely. And then that's about where I'm going to leave it on this one. But my point is he improved in so many areas. We wanted him to improve and he got extremely unlucky at points that it feels like, I don't know, like to me he's like this year's Tanner Bibee. We're gonna see that big jump. Like he's shown he can throw the innings. The strikeouts are there. We know the skills are there. He's just got to piece it together. It's kind of when does he do it? It's now or never. I think he does it. And next year we're talking about a guy getting drafted in the top 100. So Brandon Fought, I'm huge on at 168.
Sticking your neck out there. I like it. I had Brandon Fought's forecaster box and I ended it with an upside of 3.25 ERA, 200 strikeouts. So I get what you are saying. Also wrote about him for the HQ pitch mix change thing on Wednesday. It was a sinker, 60% ground ball rate on Brandon Fott's sinker that he threw a ton more last year. He is trying to combat the home run problem, but I agree. Once the strand rate stuff, the left on base rate stuff evens out, I think once the results kind of get closer to Brandon Fott's true skill level, I think he's a breakout candidate. I am also like, are you worried about Brandon Fott not being in Arizona's rotation? There is some chatter about that.
I know. You know, and that's just the biggest load of how do you make your – I'm trying to keep it PG on this one. I get it because
– a nerve.
No, it's a conversation, but it's because you have Jordan Montgomery in the way. You have Eduardo Rodriguez in the way. And you have Merrill Kelly in the way. Like, they're trying to trade someone very, very badly right now. Brandon Fought could, like, he still has to, like, one, somebody has to go to the bullpen. Like, they can't kick Fought out of here. If they do, it'll just be such a detriment to his future. It's so stupid. You got to do 181 innings. You can't do it.
Maybe we'll sound like idiots in a few months, but I have very small concern about Brandon Fine. And some of the projection systems are incorporating that into the innings pitch total. So like, I think like Steamer has fought for like 130 or so innings. So if you're like drafting based off of projections, just kind of know that if you think Brandon Fott is a full-time starter, and we both think he is, I think you bump that up to, I mean, what did he throw last year? 182 innings.
Said 181. You're not taking him backwards. I guess the full, most foolish thing ever. So you're either like you're begging, like they're actually trying to either Zach Gallen has been rumored in trades because you can't sell Jomo or E-Rod to anybody. Like, so they're trying to do something. I think eventually you just throw Montgomery in the bullpen. Like he spent the latter half of the year.
That's just, I mean, there's also like Ryan Nelson. I don't think you mentioned him. I mean, he's an option there.
They already said he started in the bullpen. They already said that.
Oh, they did. Okay.
Yeah. They said that a couple days ago. And E-Rod's not the pillar of health. So like, keep that in mind either.
E-Rod's not a pillar of
a lot of things. Yes.
Same with Jordan Montgomery.
Valid. Valid. Yes.
Anyway,
I'd be like the projections, you have to take it into account. That's what these do. That makes sense. But I'd be shocked if Brandon Fott is not in the rotation on opening day, barring an injury. Let's put it that way.
Have you ended up with Ronaldo Lopez or Sandy Alcantara on any teams? They're 160, they're in this group, 163, 166. Yeah. I have not, but
I have not drafted Ronaldo. I'm terrified. Like, it's one of those, like, hey, thanks for the awesome year last year. We're going to move on. I think it's not you, it's me. But Sandy, I like, but I just gravitate to Brandon Fott or Christopher Sanchez.
Sandy's also, it's not you, it's me, for me, at least. That's a sentence. Like, I just don't know what to do with Sandy Alcantara, so I'm not drafting him. Like, and maybe that's a blind spot with how I draft, but if like I don't have a, if I don't feel like I have a good enough pulse on a pitcher, I'm just not going to take him, and I'm going to take someone I like going 2 picks, 10 picks later in Sanchez or Fott. So I don't know.
With Sandy, I'm kind of using the, and again, it probably, if you're listening, you're like, well, you said this about this player, but you say something different here. Okay, fair. Valid. But when it comes to Sandy, coming back from TJ at his age with a team with such a young pitching staff, to me, I've treated him like I treated Chris Sale last year. They're going to throw him as much as they can until he breaks. And unlike other guys that come back from TJ, they kind of like baby step it. Like, Sandy's just going to go. And he's going to throw, if he gives you 150 innings, you're over the moon. And I think you're going to get at least 150 from him. And if that's the case, if you think he can bounce back at all, like, strikeouts have never been his thing. He needs to accumulate. But at 166, if he can throw you 150 innings with usually pretty good ratios, like, I'll take Sandy over Shane McClanahan.
Whoa, I won't. Oh, no, yes, I will. Sorry. Yeah, I will take Sandy over McClanahan. Yeah. The thing I worry about is the old Jason Collette-ism. I don't know if this is his ism, but he says it a lot. It's that command is the last thing to come back after TJ. And Sandy Alcantara is, he needs that command. That's who he is in order to be successful. So it's not even just, for me, it's not only just, is the volume going to be there? It's, if the volume's there, is he still the same pinpoint command guy that he was pre-TJ? I just don't know. And so that's why I'm going elsewhere.
I guess my thing with Sandy is, compared to, again, other guys, is he has been pitching since the end of last season. Like, he could have come back last year.
Yes.
It's not agreed. It's not like he just got ready to clear to pitch. Now he's coming to pitch. Like, agreed. He's been throwing since September, August. Like, he could have been, if the Marlins were in it, he was coming back. And I think that initial return is when the control issues. Now we're another 4 months removed from that. Like, we're almost, I'm just top of my head, I could be wrong, almost a year and a half removed from surgery.
At least.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's not like he's just getting back. He's been back in theory. He just hasn't been on a major league mound. So again, maybe that affects his control, but I think he's had time to work on that as well.
Yeah.
That's where my brain's at. Again, I got people might get annoyed. Like, I'm picking my battles differently, but it's a different person. Like, it's baseball. They're people. So you got to kind of see where it goes. And an older pitcher on a bad team, I roll with it. And if he gets hurt again or it doesn't work at that ADP, you can drop him anyways.
Last but not least, but poor old Ryan Pepio. I actually don't mind Ryan Pepio at 168. He's fine. I have taken him in a few spots, so I think Ryan Pepio is fine. I take him over Ronaldo Lopez.
I'm terrified of their new ballpark.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. And Ryan Pepio is a
fly ball dude.
45% fly ball guy. So that's a good point. Without the best control. So,
And I like Pepio. I think he's going to be good down the line, but that ballpark terrifies me. So yeah, I'm out on that one.
All right. I learned. Maybe I am too.
Just picking poisons here. If I'm going to take chances, I'm going to go elsewhere, I guess. But I like the skill set of Pepio. If he was in the trop, I'd be with you. That's for sure.
All right.
A couple listener questions before we head out of here this evening from the Discord. I have to navigate conversations here. Michael C. asked us to get our targets and avoids in the range. We gave you those for sure. We went pretty deep on most of those. Michael C. says he's on deck debating Kikuchi and Pepio. I think we both say Kikuchi.
Yes, I would take Kikuchi over Pepio.
Sean Chard says, which hunter are you in on this year? Hopefully different ones. So there's an addition to the beer bets.
Hunter, so that's Hunter Green at a 93 ADP or Hunter Brown at 100.
Brown, I think. I can't bet you that. No.
I can't. No. We've already got our one spicy beer bet of this episode. I would take Hunter Brown over Hunter Green, knowing Hunter Green has freaking nice ceiling, but sound like a broken record. It's the way he finished. It's the velocity. It scares me. It's the park. It's a 4.24 projected ERA. I think my own pitcher projections that I do, I don't think Hunter Green is even that far off. What do I have Hunter Green for? I've got him for a 4.15. So right there.
All right. Kevin Hastings has a couple questions, a couple Strider questions. Number one, how upset will we be with ourselves for allowing him to fall so far if he is back by the end of April?
Say that again.
How
upset will I be
if we allow him to keep falling? He's back by the end of April.
Yeah, which was the report that came out today for Strider. So I honestly, if that does happen, I don't know what the chances are. Yeah, I'll be upset. If I pass on a Spencer Strider at 120, who could be a top 10 starting pitcher, even with missing a month, if he only misses a month and comes back and looks great, yeah, I'll be kicking myself. I just don't know what the chances are that happens.
Yeah. So. I'll be mad and I'll miss it. And it is what it is, probably. Number two, how much do the non-public projections included in ATC hate him?
That I don't know, but I'm guessing the ATC projections are very high on Strider.
He's 11 to 18 starting pitching using the other projections available on Fangraphs, 32nd using ATC. So, Ariel is not a fan of that one.
Yeah, that's a 3.47 projected ERA for Strider via ATC, which combines other projection systems into that. So, I don't know.
All right. Our buddy BP says, I have Hunter Green and Zach Gallen in a 14-team mixed league. Salaries are basically identical. I might only have room to keep one. Pick one. Thanks.
Oh, that's tough. In a keeper? Honestly, I might take a stab at Hunter Green.
If you can keep him forever and the price doesn't change a lot.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind it. But I'm just not a huge Zach Gallen guy either. I think this is probably one where I'd also just punt to the market, where Hunter Green's a 93 ADP. Zach Gallen's 118.
And yeah, maybe you get him cheaper.
Yeah, so I'd go Green over Gallen. If I had to make that choice in a draft, I'm not making that choice because I'm taking someone else. But that's not the question. It's a keeper league. So,
yeah, if you can keep him forever, then at the same price, I go Green. But if things fluctuate at 1 year, if it's just a 1 year thing, like James in the chat said, I'd take Gallen probably just for the 1 year. A lot of parameters involved there. Michael C. says, worth noting, Cardi said Steinbrenner projected pretty neutral, but has no idea how weather will affect it. Yeah, the dimensions are identical to Yankee Stadium. Mm-hmm. So think how Yankee Stadium plays, but in a more warm and humid environment is the way I look at that. So given that you're doing most home games early.
And it's moving out of the trop.
Yeah, so big shift in teams' factors. Plus, they're going to spend most of the second half on the road. Because of the way the schedule is. Now you got guys living out of suitcases, traveling all the time. Who knows how they're really feeling and loving life at that point in time. So,
and I wonder too, I mean, I haven't really thought about this, but like there probably will be a lot of rainouts. And how does that how does that work like with the
double headers?
Yeah, double a lot of exactly
goofiness, yes.
I don't know. I mean, that's all it's a mess, narrative stuff, but who knows? Yeah. But I think it is wise to just in general with the move is knock back starting pitchers from Tampa a little bit, especially your fly ball guys, and then your left-handed bats on Tampa, I think come out pretty good with this, just because it is those same dimensions as Yankee Stadium with the short right field.
I'll push back a little there. Yes, the left-handed bats, but I'd say even the righties get a bump over the trop. Like, put Christopher Morel out there now. Like we talked about it before, much more intrigued by him in that environment. So, plus the no batter's eye that everyone complains about, that's gone.
That's what I mean by not being in Tropicana anymore. It's
so. A lot of factors in the hitting direction there, and not so much the pitching. All right, my friend, we'll wrap it up there. Any final thoughts before we do SP3 on Thursday?
In general, like, not a huge fan, just to kind of wrap everything up here, not a huge fan of starting pitchers in general going from like 100 to 150. There's only a couple guys I like. So when we start doing our kind of roadmap episodes as we get closer to the end of draft season, or really the peak of it, something I'm taking into account is which hitters do I want to take in this span, which second closer do I want to take in this span, and go from there.
Yep. No, I agree. It's a big gap. That's why we probably take our RP2s or go get another, position player of your choice.
Catcher. Third catcher.
There's some good catchers there. I recommend it. A lot of options like that, but it's going to be interesting. So we'll have to see what the next glob of starting pitchers go, because if this is ADP 176, we're probably going about 180 to close to 300 by the time
I've got it up. Yeah, next show will be starting at ADP, so it's going to be SP 61 to 90.
No, 51 to 80.
51 to 80. My bad. Yeah, that's why we keep you around here. It'll go from ADP. What the hell? No, I'm looking at the wrong thing. Here we go. Yeah. ADP 178 to 284, starting with Shane Baz, ending with Cutter Crawford. So,
oh boy, that's a doozy. There's a cliffhanger, folks. So if you're ready for that, come in, join us on Thursday, or download on Friday. It's up to you. But we'll leave it there. We're going to take off for the evening. Make sure you check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, the Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm on Twitter at BDentric, and this was Bubba in the Bloom, episode 213. Catch you all next time.